Okay, 1 Peter, you're in chapter 2, right? Let's stand together. We're going to read verse 18 to 25. Verse 18, the Bible says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Father, tonight we pray your blessings upon the Word of God. We pray your help tonight, that I would be filled up with your Spirit, emptied of self. God, may it be all about you and none about me. Speak to your people tonight. We need to hear from you, please. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sad to see that so many Christians today are not standing for Christ like they should. I would say the pressure of the world is great, and pressure then becomes a temptation for us to not stand for Him like we should, and then we would buckle under the pressure. You understand? The world is too much for some. What I mean is that it's hard for people to stand for God, to stand on the right side, whenever you feel like you're standing all alone. Whenever you are called by God to have a testimony at work, but you're in the midst of a group of people that don't have an interest in the things of God like you do. Or maybe they say that they do, but their actions and the way that they live speaks otherwise. And so having a true testimony it's real challenging. Or for a lady to have a good testimony to a husband who is either lost or is far from God. Or for a wife to have a good testimony to a husband who is lost or who is far from God. Those things are challenging. I think of the kids going back to school. It's hard for young people to have a testimony for God when you go to the public school. I mean, you're in a minority. And I'm not talking about young people who say that they're Christian or young people who say that they know Christ. I'm talking about genuine Christianity, living for God and holding a standard or a testimony. You're going to be different. You're going to stand out. And it's going to be challenging because those that are not interested in standing out like you do, in the times that you do stand out, it becomes pressure for you because they'll say things to you or they'll say things about you to make things difficult. And so we find that it's challenging to live for God in the world today. And many Christians, as I started, are buckling under that pressure. It might be tonight that you at times are there as well. So the challenges that we feel today, do you think that these are the same types of challenges that Peter is dealing with in the church and in the Bible times? That they would have some of the same types of challenges that we have today? Servants, in the scripture, in verse 18, it says servants. We're talking about slaves. Okay? And slaves were getting saved. They were hearing the gospel and they were getting saved. And so now they were working for a master who's lost. They're saved, but their master is not saved. So what do you do? Then Peter goes on to explain to the church in another area of life that I think maybe we can relate with too, and that is that wives are getting saved, but their husbands remain lost. So what do we do about that? And he speaks to that in Peter chapter 3. Then he goes on in verse number 7 and he speaks to another reality, and that is that husbands are getting saved and their wives are remaining lost. So how do we handle that little dynamic? This is challenging, and I think tonight can have a very encouraging message. Now tonight's message it's encouraging, but it's instructive. So Peter is giving us instructions as servants, okay, because we're all slaves in some way. And I'm going to hopefully show you that tonight. So as we are slaves in this world at times, or called to be slaves even at times, how do we relate with those that are our masters but are lost? And so it's instructive. We can trust tonight that we will receive God's favor. Whenever we endure those types of situations. For instance, let's say that you are a servant who is serving a master who is mistreating you. Peter says tonight that we can find God's favor in those situations if we handle this mistreatment with love. So Peter is continuing in his instructions. Remember what we said last time? I think it's been several weeks, but we said in verse number, let's take a look at it, verse 17. Peter says that we should be humble servants. And what should we do in relationship, or rather in all of our earthly relationships? We should be humble servants. So what should we do? Verse 17, he says, honor all men. So that means we should always find value in the life of lost people, because there is value there. He says, love the brotherhood, which means that we should love our church family. I know sometimes we can get on each other's nerves or, you know, be irritated with each other, but we should love each other. He says, fear God in verse 17. What does he mean? Why is Peter speaking to this? Well, he's saying God is who we should fear exclusively. Therefore, yeah, we might be experiencing trials or a government that is not approving of the things that we teach and might even issue in time to come threats against what we preach and teach at this church. But we are not to fear this government. We are not to fear this world. We fear exclusively God. That's what he says. And then he says, honor the king, which means that we should value our civil status. You know, and it should matter to us if we have multiple speeding tickets on our record. That should matter. And as Christians, we probably shouldn't have that. Peter is saying this should matter to us. These relationships, whether it be relationships with the lost, relationships with church, our church family, relationship with God, and relationship with our civil government, that we should be humble servants. Now Peter is needing to give him some instruction, not only in relationship to the world and who we're related to in the world, but now it's the home. Relationships within the house. He's dealing with harsh masters. He's dealing with lost husbands and lost wives. How do we deal with these things? And he gives first the instruction on the servant in his dealings with the harsh master. And you might wonder, you know, at least I did, why would Peter relate the servant or the slave with the family in this way? And there's two kinds of slaves. One slave would be sort of like a laborious slave, one that would work the field or whatever. And then you would have a household slave. And this, the reference here in our text is referring to the household slave. Okay? Now let's take a look at it in verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So he teaches, as I already said, the household servants here, but he's telling them that they should be submissive to their masters. He says that these household slaves, these servants, should be submissive to their masters with respect, whether they are good to them or whether they're harsh to them. That's what he says. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, he says. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So, slaves. Doesn't that sound like a hot button topic today? race and slavery and, you know, to read this and explain it up to what I've done now would be, you know, really controversial, you know. But slavery was very common in Bible times, in this time. As a matter of fact, whenever Peter here, in teaching about slavery in the home, or rather the household slave, he is approaching something that is common to the day. As a matter of fact, 1/4 of all the people in that time were considered slaves. And these were people that, if a land was conquered, then they would be, you know, the people that would have been conquered. The land conquered, and they would become slaves. It would also be those that had gotten in debt and had no ability to pay their debt, so then they would become slave until their debt is paid. A slave also would be somebody who chose to be a slave or a slave by their own choice. Aristotle, who was a Greek philosopher of the day, described slavery in these times as human chattel, which is movable property. That's what Aristotle said, or speaking of slaves. And he said these human beings, which are slaves, are chattel, human property, or rather movable property. He says there are two kinds. He says there are kinds that have positions of trust, and then there are kinds that are brute laborers. But that's what Aristotle said. That's not what God said, nor Peter. Some of the modern interpreters of this particular text, you know, see this and would see it as really chauvinistic, you know, or maybe a categorizing it as something that would be, you know, evil, really. But if you look at the culture of the day and the way that God, or rather Peter, approaches the subject of slavery, He categorizes them. Watch this. This is really interesting. I really had to study all of this to see this. But he categorizes them in such a way that puts them all on really the same type of a level, on the same level. He's not telling them, you know, he's not speaking to, you know, the ethics of whether it's right or wrong to have slaves. Slavery was accepted of the day. What he's saying here is, these slaves have gotten saved. Now I want to teach you how you should act. I want to teach you the kind of character and attitude that you would have. And then he teaches wives. And then he teaches husbands. So what he's doing is he's giving instruction to everybody. All on the same level, really. Yep. So our verse is not advocating slavery, but rather is teaching those in that position how to deal with the special challenges that they have had, or, now that they're saved and their master is lost. So their master being lost would treat them wrongfully, potentially. So how should they handle that? Now, let me say tonight, so we can relate with this, hopefully. We're all subservient to somebody. We all have a master. We all have somebody that we serve. And we would always need to determine to submit with respect whether the one who is over us is treating us well or not, whether they're treating us good or bad. Because God shows favor to those who do right no matter what. Matter of fact, that's what it says when it says thankworthy. Let's see. It says that in our verse number 19. For this is thankworthy. Now, thankworthy means favor. So it would be like you're being looked upon with favor. God sees those who are not treated properly but have lived with respect. And He says this gains favor with God. Then He says in verse 19, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Conscience toward God would mean that these people are doing right, doing the right thing, understanding what God would want because, listen now, we're going to see this in a minute, because of His example. And so we do trust that we will receive God's favor. And that means that we understand that God, listen now, will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's not forgotten about us, even though we might be going through a trial or a trouble or a struggle. He's not shunned us. He's not neglected us. But He will bring blessings in His time. Now, here's what I think Peter is, you know, as he continues, he's dealing with something that I see as really a prevalent attitude with people today. Because, you know, whenever you stand for God, you're going to face certain trials in this world. You're going to be shunned. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be looked at. I'm talking about Christians that are living for Christ in this world. It's going to happen. You're going to have, the world's going to look differently upon you, and it's going to be a challenge. God's promised us that it was so. All through the Scripture, we're going to face these types of persecution. Now, we should not expect God's favor if we have been shunned and neglected. Well, watch this. But we haven't been living for God. We've not been living for Christ. We've not held the Christian testimony that we should have. Okay, look at verse 20. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? So he says, as he asks them, where is the praise in enduring this mistreatment if we've been living wrong? If we haven't had the testimony that we should have in this world? And it's hard. Yeah, we're not going to find God's favor. Hey, listen, this is not whenever, what we're speaking of in finding God's favor is not when we endure tough times, which we should endure tough times, but we're not going to find God's favor when we endure tough times, but we've not been living right and we've not been doing right and our attitude has been wrong. We can endure, but listen, if we're not following the example of Christ, then how can we expect to find God's favor? That's what he's saying. Yeah. So it might be tonight that you're enduring hard times, but you've not been faithful to God. Should you expect God's favor? Listen now. Let me say that again. I'm just speaking to you what Peter is saying to the church. And maybe it'll touch you. But you might be enduring a hard time right now. But you've not been faithful to God. Should we expect God's favor? Tough times at home, tough times at work, but we've not been faithful to God, to His house, to His Word, to Him in prayer. You know, I think there's two things that when we get busy and tough times, come to us, that it might be that we need to identify a few things in our life. But struggles, you know, pressure and stress have a way of squeezing some stuff out of our life, and we're not being faithful to God. And that is our time in the Word of God and our time on our knees. I'd say maybe the number one thing to go would be our time on our knees. And then we just abbreviate our time in the Word of God. And it's easier to allow other things to go. And we're going to suffer tough times. And I'm looking across the crowd and I'm seeing a lot of people who are going to endure. Where are you going to go? Are you going to quit? I don't see anybody in this room who's going to quit. Now, here's what Peter is saying. When you go through those tough times, we need God. We want God's favor. We need God's favor. But can we expect God's favor in the tough times when we've not been faithful to Him? Understand? He says he doesn't answer the question because it's hypothetical. We know the answer to that question. Look at verse 20 again. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, that means your testimony is right. That means your walk is right. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're right. And there's a difference. It doesn't mean you never make mistakes. It means you are right with God. And when you make a mistake, you get right with Him right away. And you seek Him and you're faithful. But if you, when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it, it says, you take it patiently. That's endurance. This is acceptable with God. So Peter says, they've done right. And they endure suffering. They would receive favor with God. That's what God's saying. So maybe we could maybe put our... This is a tough text, just so you know. I struggle with this. But if we could take our shoes off and put our feet into the shoes of a slave who got saved. Okay? Now, you are saved and you're free and you're free in Christ and you're understanding more of the freedom that you have in Christ. And so now you are under this taskmaster, really, this master that you have, and he abuses you and he's wrongfully treating you. He's harsh toward you, which we could expect, you know, in Bible times, especially if a master is an unbeliever and you have now become saved and have that testimony. It might cause him to become angry just because you've gotten saved. Now, here's what Peter is saying. How do we deal with this dilemma that's now in our life? He says, you continue to have that testimony, continue to do right, continue to be faithful, and endure. You'll find God's favor. That's what he's saying. So endure mistreatment. Remain faithful in these tough times. So that means whenever you're in a position where you're trying to do the right thing and you have somebody who's over you is not interested in the right thing and they are making life pretty hard on you, that you would always have something good to say. That you would do what you're supposed to do. That you would work with a good attitude. That you would serve with a good spirit. And we can trust that if we do that, we can trust that if we do that, what I just said, that we will receive God's favor when we endure that kind of mistreatment as a Christian. So, why is that? Look at verse 20. Why should we do this? Verse 21, look what it says. For even hereunto were ye called. Amazing. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in His steps. You know, it's amazing to me that if we categorize three individuals within the home, one would be the slaves, household slave, two would be the wife, and three would be the husband, that the one that we're paralleling Jesus with is the slave. Is that not amazing to you? The one we're paralleling Jesus with is the slave. Now, Jesus is the example for all three, but we're paralleling Him with the slave. Peter said this is what we were called to because Christ suffered for us and is our example. Look at verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No sin. Who when he was reviled, verse 23, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So he did not sin. He was reproached, but he did not, listen now, he did not reproach back. He didn't do anything wrong. He was right, but he suffered. When he was reviled, he did not revile back. When he was beaten, he did not threaten. He committed himself to God's hands. I love that. In verse number 23, the last phrase, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He placed himself in God's hands. That's powerful. It takes faith to do that. To trust that you're doing the right thing and you're still suffering for it, that God's going to rectify all of that. It's going to be okay. And you can trust God. Jesus did. He's our example. Verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree that we... I love that transition right there. I hope you don't miss it. Look at it again, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree that we, being dead to sins, being dead together with sins. You understand? Dead in sins. No life. Should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. So we're dead together with sins. So now because of Christ, we can live in God's favor. We cannot have God's favor without what Christ did. But now because of Christ, we can have God's favor. He goes on in verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Christ is our example. And we can put ourselves in God's hands like Christ did. Isn't that right? He's our example. And He suffered. And what did He do? He placed Himself in God's hands. Yep. He was mistreated, and we get mistreated. We're treated wrongfully. Christ was treated wrongfully, and He trusted God and placed Himself in God's hands. And because of that, we can trust that we will receive God's favor if we endure mistreatment for being Christian. Because when Christ was mistreated, when He placed Himself in God's hands, He became for us. He gave us the ability to have God's favor because He healed us. Because we're healed in Him. We were dead and now we're alive. So not only was He our example on how to deal with the suffering, He is the reason why we have the ability to have God's favor. And so now, when you're in a group of unbelievers and it's time to eat and you speak up and say, hey, whoa, 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 I think we need to have prayer before we eat this food. And there's a big group of people. Whoa, 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 whoa. I think we need to have prayer before we eat this food. Did you know that it's okay for you to do that? And when you do that, there's some people that are probably going to be a little bit offended at that. Because now you're bringing religion into their life and they're not really wanting religion. And so now you might be the topic of conversation over the food that you eat. But as you stand up and be the Christian that God wants you to be, you might not be popular, but I want you to know you're going to find God's favor. So when you decide to go to church and you tell your coworkers or your boss or somebody, you know, that I'm going to church, you know, so I need to take off so I can go to church. And, you know, that sometimes isn't the most popular thing. It just isn't. And so we began to take a stand in this world, and then the world sees that and they'll speak against it. They'll speak against you. So we might not find favor in this world. We might not find favor in our work situation for taking stands like that, but I want you to know you'll find favor with God. There are some things that goes on at work that are unethical, and your bosses ask you to say or do something that you're not comfortable with. And you've done it always before, you know, because you want to keep your job. And there's a lot of pressure there. But now God's working in your heart and you don't want to continue down that road. And so you say respectfully that I cannot do that because it's uncomfortable or because you are not, you're a Christian and you don't want to go down that road. And now you are not a good with the boss. There's not a good savor in the mouth between you and him. Can you see, now I'm just giving a couple examples, but can you see how that whenever you take stands for God, that in the world it rubs them wrong? Listen, you cannot be in the in crowd at the public school. You cannot. I don't care what they're doing. You say, well, wait a second, they're doing this or they're doing that. Listen, if you go to the public school, and there's just a few here tonight, but the idea is a solid thing, whether you go into the world in any aspect, that you cannot be in the in crowd and just be in agreement with whatever the in crowd is doing. You are going to be in the out crowd when you stand as a Christian. You're not going to be the popular one. Because you're going to stand against certain conversations. You're going to stand against certain topics. You're going to stay away from certain groups who are involved with certain things. You're not going to be popular. You're just not going to be popular. And so they'll make fun of you. They'll call you the Holy One. Holier than thou at times. That happened in a youth group. Mercy. A bunch of Christian kids. Kids getting called holier than thou in a youth group, you know. So we're not in the in crowd. And we're not, you know, because we're not comfortable with certain sins. But I want you to know, as you stand for the Lord, and you have times of suffering like that, you might not find favor in this world, but you'll find favor with God. I was a youth pastor for a long time. I was not popular for a while. I remember when we first became youth pastor? Oh man, that was exciting. It was so awesome. Sarcasm. Not awesome. Our first youth experience as youth director was at camp. First thing. Like, I became youth pastor the very next week we went to camp. Yay. That was the worst week of my life. Okay? It was. The youth group was huge. It was like 40-something kids. And 98% of them hated me because I'm the reason the youth pastor got fired. He didn't get fired. But that's what they thought. He got moved out of the youth group. I got put in, and it was my fault. Which it wasn't. None of the things that they thought was true. You say, well, Brother Ben, Pastor, how did you know that they thought that? Because a lot of them told me to my face that week. It was great. It was an awesome week. And I cannot tell you, the groups of teenagers in the youth group talking, you know, about me, and I would issue count. I'm the youth pastor, so I would say, okay, guys, we're going to sit on this row, and they would sit over there. Like, what am I going to do about it? You know? So, I had so many emotions at that time. I thought, well, I'm going to show them, you know, and I'm going to do the, I don't care what you think, get over here. And we did a few of those, you know, but then it was, you know, okay, we're going to do that. We'll just go over there, you know, and then I did move over here. So, you know, I remember that week just dealing with all kinds of emotions and constantly all week long feeling like, I don't want to do this. It's, you remember feeling like that? I do not want to be the youth pastor if this is what it's going to be like. All week long, I just felt like, I hate this. I don't. This is the worst thing ever. I hate teenagers. No, I didn't really hate teenagers, but that's what I was feeling. I don't like them. I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. They don't like me. I don't like them. You know, why are we doing this? But you know, every time I felt like I was done, every time I felt like I want to quit, I don't want to go on, I can't stand this anymore, I would get with, the Lord would speak to my heart and say, remain faithful and serve. Remain faithful and serve and love them. Remain faithful, serve, and love them. And you know, it took a while. God got us through that week and began to win the hearts of some of those young people. A lot of them, you know, they didn't stay. But God began to work in the hearts of some of them. And a few of the kids that were in that group went to Heartland and served God today. Praise the Lord. And we had another crop of young people that God brought to our youth group and just did an amazing work in their hearts. And we just saw so many things happen in the youth group as we were able to be the youth pastor. But I want you to know, at first, it was a struggle whenever we were feeling this pressure and this really this hatred coming towards us that was causing me not to want to be the youth director anymore. So how do you handle times whenever you're feeling pressure or stress and you're just trying to do the right thing? You're just trying to live for God. You're just trying to do right. Listen, you've taken stands. You're faithful. You're being what God wants you to be. You're doing what God wants you to do. And you overhear from the world or from some source, you're getting pressure on you. And you're doing right. You're standing for right. You're doing what God wants you to do. And you feel this pressure. What do? Remain faithful and serve. And here's why you can know that things are going to be fine, because you have God's favor. That's what Peter is saying. Listen, these slaves were getting saved and now they were changing, but their masters were not. And they were harsh. And Peter said, serve, even when they're harsh. That's acceptable to God. You'll find God's favor. And that's what we want. And so tonight, it might be that you're feeling the stress and you're feeling the pressure. The instructions are to remain faithful. The instructions tonight is to endure this suffering and remain a servant. And you'll find God's favor. Yeah, you'll find His favor. I want to give you a statement and we'll be done. Okay? God blesses the enduring servants. God blesses enduring servants, that you endure and you're faithful and He'll bless you. You say, well, where's the encouragement of this message tonight? I tried to do my best to tell you what Peter said. And it might be tonight this is just what you needed. That you've been struggling and there's pressure, and I want to encourage you to remain faithful, to stand for what's right. Don't buckle. Don't cave under the pressure and remove yourself from what you know God wants you to do. No. There's no favor there. There's no favor there. Be faithful, even in the midst of the pressure, and you'll find God's blessings. Father, tonight we pray that you'll help us, Lord, in the struggles that we feel, Lord. And at times we feel these struggles intensely, as we begin to try to stand for You and live for You and do what You'd have us to do, Lord. It might be tonight that your people are struggling with the pressure of this world, and just whether it be just popularity type stuff or the pressure of relationship things, Lord, or the pressure of work, the pressure of just the world that cause us to struggle and to feel overwhelmed and have a desire to quit, not to continue. And so tonight, God, I pray for your help, for your strength, that we might be obedient, that we might be faithful to you, the kind of Christians you want us to be. And Lord, we know that we'll find your favor. And thank you for the example of Christ, who was faithful in the midst of suffering. And Father, we love you, and we pray tonight your blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.